Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. June is a busy month around here. I'm gone the first or second week of June. We have Bible school the third week of June. And so it kind of throws our schedule a little off in the pulpit and in the church. And so we've taken a little bit of a break from Romans. But that break will end next Sunday. So begin reading back in Romans for next Sunday. We're going to be in Romans 5, and I'm enjoying that time. It's a great blessing to the church. But we're going to finish up our little excursion in the book of Proverbs this morning. We saw Proverbs 1 last Sunday morning. We saw Proverbs 2 last Sunday night. And we're going to finish up in Proverbs 3 this morning. Very appropriate for a Father's Day. The setting of Proverbs is a father teaching his son. So there'll be a great time for us to end this book. And I pray it's not your last look at the book of Proverbs. I pray that you are reading this book. As I told you last Sunday, I've been saved for many years and taught through the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night. And what a blessing to my soul just to teach through this book. And you will benefit from it. Just as a reminder, it's a great book for monthly reading. 31 chapters, usually 31 days in a month. And so you got a chapter a day. And you can read it multiple times in a year, and you'd be shocked about how much you remember if you read it multiple times. And so don't discard this book, even though we leave it behind this morning. It's a great benefit to the church, certainly to believers today. And so we're going to be in Proverbs 3 this morning. I'm going to start in an unusual way, hopefully by showing you a picture, if this works right. Yes, there's a picture on the screen. This was taken back in 2017. This is Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States. And he was traveling and visiting NASA. NASA wanted some funding. And, you know, you invite the dignitary, show up to get some more funding. Well, Mike Pence came. And I don't know if you can read it. And this is very difficult to see. But that says, do not touch. And you can see Mike Pence very much touching whatever says, do not touch. And as they say, a picture's worth a thousand words. And since words are important for people listening to a preacher, I'll save the thousand words and show you the picture. Because that picture is golden. Now, NASA released a statement after this visit in 2017 and said he was never in any danger. He didn't damage whatever he touched there. We just want to make that clear. But this picture is gold because it reveals a great principle of life. And if you have a three-year-old, you know the principle of life. If you put do not touch, you might as well put touch. Because that's exactly what it means, not only to kids, but even to adults. The idea of resisting the temptation to touch is just so great, even for one of the most powerful men in the world, right? Now, he probably, well, I don't know the backstory, he may have asked for permission to touch, maybe even if he did, doesn't matter. It's still a picture that could be multiple illustrations in life and certainly in a sermon. This is the difficulty we see in a world filled with do-nots. We live in a world of do not, do not, do not. And if you think about that phrase, it's really going to strike home in Proverbs 3. We're going to look at this chapter fast-paced this morning, and we're going to see 11 do not statements. 11 do not statements in this one chapter alone. And that's appropriate for Father's Day. Men, right? How often do you say do not? We spent a week at the beach a week ago with our family. One of my cousins has four children under 6 years of age. Do not is part of their vocabulary, right? I mean, that's the requirement. I mean, watch a young toddler for an afternoon or an evening or overnight and try to make a pledge. I'm not going to use the phrase do not. You will fail miserably. It's part of parenting, and though our kids are older, there's still do-nots in our house that we use frequently. And so it's important to understand this is the do-not chapter in the book of Proverbs. Now, there's other do-nots in Proverbs. In fact, chapter 4 is filled with do-nots. And as you get into other portions of Scripture, you're going to see admonitions to not do something. But as we come to Proverbs 3, we're really going to get to this do not section of Scriptures. Our Heavenly Father speaks to us through His inspired Word. And we're going to be blessed by the do nots. We often think of do not as being some bad combination of words. But I assure you, church, do nots are for your protection and your provision. God gives us these do nots, and we're going to see them this morning in Proverbs 3. Now, you should be aware, this is going to be a bird's eye view of Proverbs 3. It's not our normal pace. We're really biting off a lot of verses this morning. But I hope And my prayer in going to the book of Proverbs is for it to be a settling of our souls in a year that's very unsettled around us. Whether there's viruses, whether there's injustice, whether there's riots, this year has unsettled people. And my aim and my prayer as we come to the book of Proverbs is to find a settled soul. We settle our souls in the wisdom of God. You don't care for my opinion. I don't want to offer my opinion. We all need to know what the Lord says. And Proverbs, as well as the rest of Scripture, is filled with the Lord's wisdom to us. And so our aim here is to get our souls settled in the wisdom of God. Now, as I said, and as a reminder, the book of Proverbs is really instruction. It's fatherly, tender instruction. A father to a son. That's the setting. That's a great reminder of who we should be as fathers, instructing our children in the ways of the Lord, bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And that's really a great picture to keep in mind as we come to Proverbs 3. Now, I'm going to go back to my outline briefly. It's probably the worst outline you'll ever see, because it's really a difficult chapter to outline. But I'm just going to put these three headings there. But the chapter is very self-explanatory. The Lord doesn't need my help in outlining. I simply need the help so I can keep the pace up. And so you see the outline that we're going to go by. What not to do, part one. What to do, part two. Right, part one. And then what not to do, part two. Let's just simply jump into this book. I'm not going to read all the verses. We'll just go as we see them. And as we get to the end of this, the aim is to settle your souls in God's wisdom. To remind ourselves of the importance of wisdom in a world of foolishness. So listen to the wisdom of the Lord, church. Verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And so you see the first do not right there in verse 1. And it is a do not, an instruction from a father to a son to not forget the teaching. Not forget his teaching. And the assumption is the father is teaching the things of the Lord, the ways of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And the encouragement there is for the son to listen, to keep the commands of the Lord. And you see the promise. It's a principle of life. For length of days and years of life and peace, they, what is the they? Those are the commandments, the word of the Lord. They will add to you. And the general principle is this. Those who follow the commands of the Lord are blessed with long life and peace. And a reminder, if you weren't here last week, remember, these are generalities, principles of life. Are there people who have died young, though they follow the commands of the Lord? Sure. Are there people who disobey the commands of the Lord and enjoy a long life? Yes. But generally speaking, these things go hand in hand. To listen and follow the wisdom of God, to abide by His teaching, leads to a life of length and peace. What a great blessing in the world. What a great blessing today in 2020. That'll take the fear out of being killed in a riot or killed by a virus. Those are things that we should combat. The world right now is filled with fear of death. And yet, what does God say? What is God's wisdom in Proverbs 3:1? Abide by the teachings of the Lord. And generally speaking, you will find a life of blessing and length of days. What a great promise from the Lord. And then we get a little more specific. That's a general principle, general rule of life. And then verse 3. The father's going to get very specific with the son. What are some things I should do? Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And so we see do not number two. Do not forget teaching of the Lord. And number two, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Now, what is this idea of kindness and truth? Why are these two words attached right here? Well, this is the idea of being a well-balanced person in the world. Balance is very, very important. And so the person of verse 3 and verse 4 is a person who speaks truth but speaks it kindly. Reminds us of the New Testament, right? The book of Ephesians, the need to speak the truth in love. This is the idea of a well-balanced person. This is instruction from a father to a son, from a father to his daughter, from a heavenly father to us this morning. We should be people who balance truth and love. Godly wisdom calls for that. And why is that necessary? Well, you probably met people like this, right? People who are too much of the truth, guess what happens? Nobody eventually listens to them. They're too abrasive. They're too unkind. They can't speak in love. And eventually they speak truth their whole life, but nobody's listening. But then you have people, on the other hand, who are so kind. They're so loving. They wouldn't hurt a fly, but they will let people go to hell without giving them the truth of the gospel. That's how kind they are. They would never think of speaking a harsh word. Yet guess what the gospel demands? It demands us to speak truth and speak it in love. That's what we're called to be. We are called to be people who balance truth and kindness in our lives. We're committed to the truth, but we're not so arrogant that we can't speak to you in love. In fact, our love for you is what causes us to speak the truth to you. This is the believer. This is the pastor. This is the Sunday school teacher. This is the Christian speaking to their neighbor. This is the kind of people we are. People of truth, but people who are also filled with love. And that's a great instruction from a father to a son or a daughter. Raise children who love the truth. Raise children who know the truth. Raise children who live the truth. Raise children who speak the truth, but raise children who speak the truth in love and kindness. Such a great benefit, godly wisdom to us. And I don't have to tell you, watch the news. You'll find truth. You won't find much love. And when you find a lot of love, you won't find any truth. There has to be a mix. There has to be a great balance in the life of a believer. And look at the promise. This is a great, fantastic promise. You will find, verse 4, you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Have a good reputation with men if you're a person of truth and love, and you'll have a good reputation with God. What more can there be that we want in this world? These are the people who know how to balance truth and love. People who speak kindness, but people who also speak truth. And look, there are people in the world, unbelievers and believers, who appreciate those who speak truth. There's a need for truth. And we need to see the importance of it. But there's also unbelievers and believers who can also recognize people who speak in love and who don't speak in love. And so we're to be both. And that's a tough task. And sometimes you'll err on either side. But we're called to find the balance of truth and love. And that is God's wisdom to us today, church. So be a speaker. Be a speaker of truth and be a speaker of love. And you will find good standing with God and man. Now, we move from those opening four verses, probably to the most famous verse of all the book of Proverbs, the one, or maybe verses 5 and 6 are probably the most well-known verses in the book of Proverbs. And so the father is continuing to teach his son, and he turns from outward action now to inward commitment, right? There's inward action. The father's teaching his son how to operate in the world, but now he addresses his son's heart. And here's what he says in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. A lot of people have pictures with that verse. A lot of people have that verse underlined, starred in their Bible. And it's a great verse, and it's a material for an entire message. We don't have that much time this morning, but look at the very simple principle. We once again see another do not. Do not lean on your own understanding. In other words, the opposite of trust in the Lord is to trust in your own understanding, to trust in your own wisdom, to trust in your own knowledge. And so we see this opposing force that's at work. These opposing attitudes are at work. These opposing ways of life that are at work in our life. this balance, this battle, I should say, between trusting the Lord and trusting in our own way of thinking. And what's the principle here? The principle is simply trust in the Lord. That's the principle. Trust in the Lord, acknowledge Him by submitting to what He says, and what's the promise? The Lord will make your path straight. The Lord will give you a blessed life. You will find prosperity. You will find security. This is a promise to those who trust in the Lord. And this encompasses so much. Trust in the Lord with all, in every part of Scripture. I mean, this encompasses Genesis to Revelation, the idea of trusting in the Lord. And the promise is that the Lord will make our path straight. This is a simple principle of life. It's a simple principle fathers should be teaching their children. The idea of taking their trust, resisting the temptation to trust in their own way of thinking, and trusting in the Lord's wisdom. We have to move on, and I really don't want to, but let's move to verse 7. From there we move to another do not. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. This certainly complements what we just saw in verses 5 and 6. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Now, once again, the reader of the book of Proverbs is called to step away from their own wisdom and fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, we've seen in other parts of Scripture, the fear of the Lord keeps us from sin, makes us turn away from evil, you see there in verse 7. And what's the principle? The principle of not being wise in our own eyes, turning away from evil, the promise, the principle is in verse 8. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. A lot of people fail to make that connection between righteous living and good health. There's a connection in Scripture. There's a connection here. So many sins, and you know this, I'm not teaching you anything you don't know this morning, but so many sins lead directly to health problems. Consider sexual immorality. Clearly there are consequences physically from sexual immorality. God has built them into the fabric of society. They're a consequence of sin. Even uncontrolled greed, uncontrolled gluttony lead to short and long-term health problems. There's a direct tie between some sins and some physical problems. Anger, impatience can lead to certain health problems. We see this. It's not a coincidence. I mean, it's biblical to say sin can lead to poor health. You understand this. Unbelievers understand this. Even if they don't acknowledge sin. There are certain things, certain sins we commit that lead directly to health issues. And therefore, what does the Father teach his son? He says, son, rely on your own wisdom, avoid evil, and guess what? You'll keep your body healthy. And you know what you say? Well, duh, right? But guess what? That's God's wisdom to us. That's God's wisdom to us. And again, I don't want to say this too many times. There's no guarantees to this. There are righteous people living godly lives who have health problems. And there are some ungodly people who have the best health imaginable. But generally speaking, listening to God's wisdom, certainly addressed to a young person, is avoid evil and guess what? You will enjoy health. And why is that connection there? Because there's long life as a promise from the Lord. And so we see all these things tied together. And look, this is basic instruction. It's wise instruction that the world ignores. And they are paying dearly for it in various ways. Now, the instruction continues. Verse 9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, we don't see a do not here, but I think it still fits in this opening section. Now, what are the thoughts here? What's the instruction to us this morning? One, just on a practical level, fathers, it's never too early to teach your kids about the importance of giving to the Lord. It should be a basic parenting, biblical parenting mandate to teach your kids how to give to the Lord from your wealth. And notice, this is no accident, from the first of all your produce. Give the Lord your best. That's a cliche. We don't give God the leftovers, but guess what? That's biblical. We give the Lord our best. Whether we serve, whether we give, in whatever way we are trying to impact the world for the kingdom of God. We do it with our best. And certainly the father here is teaching the son the principles of giving to the Lord. And look at the consequence. In a sense, it's not a consequence. Look at the blessing. If you learn that principle of giving, generosity to the Lord, God blesses those who obey. You give, your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. There's a spiritual blessing there. The Lord blesses you spiritually, and then physically. Your barns filled, your vats overflowing with new wine. I know we Baptists don't talk about wine, right? We're going to say, we'll just skip over that verse. But look, the principle here is this. The Lord provides. The Lord blesses abundantly over and above to those who give generously to Him. And then verse 11. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. And so we find one more do not in this first section. And this is a do not that prohibits someone from rejecting the discipline of the Lord, from rejecting the correction of the Lord. And let me just be the first to say from the pulpit to you, the Christian life is in constant need of correction. I'm not talking about unbelievers, I'm talking about the church. As we are being sanctified, we're constantly in need of correction. We need that in our lives. And this, the Proverbs would teach us, is a blessing from the Lord. And sometimes the Lord disciplines us through events that happen to us. Sometimes He disciplines us by the people He brings into our life to speak truth to us. And our response, and we've seen this already in just three chapters, we saw it on Sunday night. Our response to correction is a very good indicator of how we view God. Our response to correction is a very good indicator of how we view God. If we constantly resist the correction and discipline of the Lord, we aren't His children. This is the call to be teachable, no matter your spiritual level of maturity. We ought to be teachable people. It's a great evidence of salvation to be teachable. God's people should be marked with humility. We should be teachable. Teachable people, you know what they say? I respect authority. That's what teachable people say. I respect the authority of the Word of the Lord. I respect Scripture. Folks who are rebellious, they don't respect any authority. Watch the news. You're not seeing rebellion against injustice. You know what you're seeing rebellion against? Authority. People despise authority. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. They just need a reason to do it. They already have a rebellious heart. And this is true even in a believer at times. It's something we must fight against. God has put authorities in your life, even as a believer. The leaders in your church, the word of the Lord. In your home, there is authority. And authority, our response to authority reveals our response to God's authority in our own life. And so the principle here is clear. Son, when the Lord disciplines you, you need to see it as a blessing. That proves His love for you. And just as a side, that's what I always say when I used to discipline my kids. I'm doing this because I love you, right? I mean, that's good to stick one in your belt right there if you ever have to discipline your children. But it's true, and the principle is clear. Be teachable, respond to authority, and prove that you belong to the Lord. That's a great test of salvation. From there, we kind of go into a little section that I call the what to do section of Proverbs 3. This will be brief. Probably should be longer because the do nots come one after another. I'm going to read this entire section from verse 13 down to verse 20. Follow along in this section on what we're going to call what to do. This all is a reflection of wisdom, the benefit of wisdom. Verse 13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. And so the teaching in this section is rather simple, right? You could sum up this section of Proverbs 3 by simply saying, find wisdom, my son. Because all you see right here in this little section are the benefits of wisdom. We see so many benefits here. Seek out wisdom, and if you gain wisdom, you will be blessed in the world. Verse 14 says you will be blessed with riches. The profit of wisdom is better than the profit of silver and fine gold. Wisdom will bless you. You will profit from it. Wisdom is profitable in a material way, and it's more rare than a precious jewel. In other words, godly wisdom will set you apart in the world. You will be a diamond among all the coal in the world. This is the value of wisdom. Then verse 16 reminds us that wisdom generally leads to a long life. Have you heard that before? I think the Lord wants to impress this upon our hearts. Live wisely, follow the commandments, and guess what? Generally speaking, you will find long life. Not long life for the sake of long life to serve the Lord, long life to preach the gospel. These are the blessings of wisdom. And then verse 17, verse 18, we saw this last Sunday night. A couple of benefits of wisdom are a pleasant and happy life. Everybody offers that. Nobody delivers that. There are churches offering that to crowds this morning. You want a happy life? You want good health? And then they depart from Scripture in order to get it. You know what Scripture says? You want a long life, you want good health. Live by God's wisdom, follow His commands, obey Him, and you will be blessed. And generally speaking, as we saw last Sunday night, and we see again this morning in Proverbs 3, wisdom is soothing to the soul. Wisdom is settling to the soul. It brings joy to life, to the soul of a person. That's a great blessing of wisdom. And man, I'm not talking to the unbelievers this morning. I'm talking to the church. I'm looking at an unsettled church at times. I'm looking at unsettled Christians in this year. You know what the Bible would say? You want to be settled? You don't need better policy. You don't need a vaccine. You don't need better guns. You know what you need? You need the wisdom of the Lord, and you ought to live by it. It will settle your soul. It will give you a firm foundation in a world that's built on sand. That's the benefit of wisdom. It's the benefit. And look, these aren't cliches. I didn't get a little playbook that says, you know what, say this to the church. This is God's word to God's people. We live in chaos. We live in trouble. We live in unsettling times. And what's the vaccine for that? Live by God's wisdom. And you say, that's too simple. Yep. That's what makes it really disturbing when people can't even do that. This is God's wisdom to us. It settles our soul. It brings joy to our soul. And then we're reminded that wisdom and understanding are not just unimportant. They're not just something we just dismiss. We just don't put them in the category in our mind. I want you to look at verses 19 and 20. And I'll camp out for just a second right here. Because it's interesting to me that the Lord would inspire this to go right here. And so in all the benefits of wisdom, the Lord simply points to creation. Verses 19 and 20 say that God's wisdom was the instrument He used to create the heavens and the earth. And you see wisdom mentioned. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. That's verse 19 and verse 20. And so God, in creating everything we see, Genesis 1:1, God operated in wisdom. Now look, I'll tell you, I've said this before, I was an unbeliever, an undergraduate at Clemson. I did not know the Lord, wasn't seeking the Lord, and yet, I didn't get saved right after. But I remember being in an upper-level biology class taught by some professor, I can't even remember his name. And I remember sitting in that biology class listening to how my body simply functions from vitamins and amino acids and all sorts of things. And I simply thought to myself, though I wasn't a Christian or interested in things of the Lord, I thought, there's no way I'm an accident. There's no way. And as God would call us to follow wisdom, you know what he points to? The miracle of creation. By wisdom, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he gives us an example of God's wisdom. And this is just one example, right? How many examples of wisdom can we see in creation? Multiple. But he points to one in particular. Verse 20. It simply reminds us of the water cycle. Very simple thing that we take for granted every day. And so verse 20 says that God's wisdom can be seen in the water cycle. The breaking up of the deeps, right? That's the idea of evaporation from the world's oceans and lakes, right? That is the idea. God built in evaporation in creation. So what happens? So that the oceans don't rise above our heads, there's evaporation happens all the time. Evaporation, clouds form, rain falls. That's one way. Second way, mentioned right here, evaporation off the earth. And what do you find in the mornings? Dew on the ground. And nobody could invent that. That's not the creation of man. In fact, man didn't understand the water cycle till thousands of years after God designed it into his creation in Genesis 1:1. We came to an understanding of the water cycle. And guess what? Life doesn't exist without it, and yet we couldn't even explain it. And right here in Proverbs 3, it's the wisdom of the water cycle. And that's just one example of God's wisdom in creation. And the point is simple. If God demonstrated that wisdom in creation, why are we ignoring it in our lives? God designed the world. He has told us in Proverbs, in all of Scripture, but Proverbs specifically, how to live skillfully in that world, and yet we don't live by God's wisdom, but by our own wisdom. You know what the Bible would say? You're foolish. God made a water cycle. The oceans, the deeps of the oceans break up, clouds form, rain falls, or dew falls. And that's the wisdom of God on display every day in your life. You'll get up in the morning, and if your car's not parked in a garage, there'll be water on it. You'll turn your windshield wipers. You know what you should think? Man, this is amazing. This is your wisdom on display every day I get into my car and crank it up. How rain falls every day somewhere on the earth to water crops. How man could never design that. That is God's wisdom. And that's just a little snippet of God's wisdom right here in a section where a father is teaching his son the value of wisdom. In other words, boy, if you don't believe what I'm teaching you, look around every day when it rains or you find dew. I didn't make that up. God designed that. That's the value of wisdom. God displayed his wisdom in creation. That's just a small picture. And so clearly the point here is to drive the son to wisdom. And one more section to go. The final section. Verses 21 to 35, we got to get back to the do nots before we leave. And so what not to do, what to do, and now what not to do, part two. So we've seen a call to wisdom. That's what the father has done to his son. He's called him to wisdom. And then he gave him a picture of the blessings of wisdom. And now we're going to get to a little section here where the father encourages his son to live in that wisdom. Because as I reminded you last Sunday, and I remind you again this morning, you can have access to wisdom, but you can ignore it and live in your own wisdom. Just because you can read wisdom doesn't mean you live wisdom. Very important distinction there. And so now there's a call to live in wisdom. Verse 21. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So now we get into another section of do nots. And what's the first do not? Do not ignore the wisdom of God. Do not let wisdom vanish from your sight. That's verse 21. And look, I'll be the first to admit, and I'm sure you identify with this, it is easy to let wisdom vanish, to let wisdom, God's wisdom, be overcome with our own wisdom. It's a struggle. And certainly, when stress is up, when anxiety is up, the greatest temptation is to rely on our own understanding. Why do you see food shelves cleaned out? People are relying upon their own wisdom. I'll remind you, church, God can provide manna out of heaven to his people. He has before. He has not changed. And yet people rush. And I'm not talking about an unbelieving world. I'm addressing believers. I'm addressing my own heart, who has a pretty more things in my freezer than I normally do, right? But I remind you to say, it's easy at times to ignore the wisdom of God, especially in stressful and anxious situations. We let God's wisdom vanish before our eyes. And so the command here is clear. Do not let godly wisdom leave your life. Keep it around. Live in it. And I don't have time to look at all the benefits, but look at verse 22. Wisdom is life to the soul. It's life to the soul. A lot of lives turned upside down now because they're not listening to godly wisdom. Verse 23, wisdom. I'd preach this if it wasn't Father's Day. I'd preach this the rest of the sermon. But verse 23, wisdom is a source of security in an unstable world. Look at verse 23. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. Church, there are people living in fear every day. People are afraid of strangers. People are afraid of war. People are afraid of terrorist attack. People are afraid of a virus. People are afraid of going broke. People are fearful of a riot. People are fearful of injustice. Everybody wants security. And guess what? The world is insecure. It's insecure. There's no promises in this world. Yet we do our best to hold on to those promises. We buy bigger locks and more guns. And yet there's insecurity in this world. Wisdom, church, helps us live securely in an insecure world. Wisdom helps us walk so as not to stumble. Look at verse 24. I preached this recently. You've seen it so many times. Please listen to it. Live by it. You can sleep well in God's wisdom. Verse 24. You can sleep well. Nothing like a good night's sleep. Seeking and finding and living and staying in God's wisdom will give you a good night's sleep. Verse 25 says that wisdom removes our fear of the sudden attack of criminals and evil people. Again, these are no guarantees. There have been Christians gunned down. We understand that. But the principle of Proverbs is that there will be security in God's wisdom. And the reason is found in verse 26. Cut it out of your Bible. Don't cut it out of your Bible. Put it on your fridge. Right now, put it on your fridge. Godly wisdom leads you to put your confidence in the Lord. The Lord will be your confidence. The Lord will be your confidence. What is your confidence today, church? What are you confident in? The right politician? The right vaccine? The right lock? What are you confident in? We trust not in chariots and horses. We trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's where we trust. Our confidence is in Him. And there is no substitute for confidence in the Lord. You know why? Because everything that comes your way, you know what? God sent it your way. And He has care for your soul in it. You are confident that God can protect you. And guess what? If He does not protect you physically, if you belong to Him, He will keep you forever spiritually. Whatever happens will be an immediate entrance into the presence of the Lord. What a great promise that is. And then Proverbs 3, kind of going to end some more instruction here. And I think this is very practical. I love this about the book of Proverbs. You got a question about how do I live this out? Well, guess what? God says, here's how you live it out. If you want to know how to live by wisdom, I'm going to tell you exactly how to live it out. So we come to a little section, verse 27. It won't take long here, but look at verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. It's a very practical way to live by God's wisdom. Don't put off helping others if you have the ability to do it. Don't forget about it. If it's in your power, help. Even a little bit of help, when needed, is of more value than a lot of help later, right? A little bit of help when needed is a lot more value than more help needed later. A lot of help needed later. So if an opportunity comes your way to help someone, meet that need. Verse 29, do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. I don't need to tell you how many disputes begin between neighbors. And that's even true with believers and their unbelieving neighbor. Why in the world would you pick a fight with an unbelieving neighbor? Your goal is to win their soul to Christ. Your goal is to share the gospel with them. Why would you pick a fight with an unbelieving neighbor? Their soul is of far more value than your rights. Do you hear me, church? You know what Paul said? In the context of not suing other Christians, he says, you know what? We shouldn't sue other Christians. You know what it's better to do? It's better to be wronged than to lose your witness before the world suing another Christian. He's exactly right. There are some things more valuable than my rights and my property and my money. How much value do you put on the soul of your neighbor? Should be of high value in your life. And so verse 29 simply addresses that. Don't devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Verse 30, do not contend with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. And so clearly, there's no benefit in disputes with a neighbor. Godly wisdom says avoid those things. And then we're told, interestingly enough, resist being jealous of a man of violence. Now, why would we envy a violent person? Well, probably because he's got power and riches. You ever seen somebody break into a store and others follow him in the store because he's making off with a lot of loot? Yeah, I hope you have. It's been on the news. We're jealous of people that get away with stuff. And the call here is don't resist the temptation. Resist the temptation to be jealous of a violent man. Stay far away from them. They may have temporary benefit, but there will be eternal consequences. And then this little section kind of closes the whole chapter kind of closes beginning in verse 32. And it begins another contrast we've seen before between those who listen to wisdom and those reject. And this is how the father kind of ends his talk to his son in chapter 3, verse 32. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord. That would be the wicked, the unrighteous. But God is intimate with the upright. So clearly the Lord rejects the unwise, but the Lord embraces the wise man. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Again, who doesn't want a blessing on their home? Seek wisdom and you will get that from the Lord. Verse 34, though God scoffs at the scoffers, he gives grace to the afflicted. The Lord shows no mercy to the unwise, but God gives grace to the wise. And in verse 35, the wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. Again, this contrast, you see it throughout Scripture, beginning very early with Israel. Blessings here, curses there. And clearly right here in Proverbs 3, here's the same dividing line. Do you want wisdom or do you want foolishness? And you say, I don't want foolishness. Well, I ask you, do you live by foolishness? You know what foolishness is? Foolishness is your own thinking over God's thinking. Foolishness is your own knowledge over God's knowledge. That's foolishness. And so I'll end this Father's Day morning, this morning in Proverbs 3 with a couple questions. I don't think I put these on the screen, but you can listen. Uh-oh, we're not going to sing that yet, so I got to go back. Number one, here's some questions for you, fathers, mothers, believers this morning. Do you balance truth and kindness in your life? Do you balance truth and kindness? Are you courageous enough to speak the truth, but caring enough to say it in love? That's what we're called to. What this world needs. There's a lot of loud Christians right now that have no love in how they're sharing the truth. May we be filled with love, but may we never compromise the truth. Number two, Do you rest in your understanding this morning or in the Lord's understanding? And look, I want to be the first to admit, it's sometimes hard to determine that. Am I thinking this way or are you thinking this way, Lord? I mean, what's going on here? Am I going my own way or am I going the Lord's way? And I often tell people, evaluate your motives. But more importantly, if you are reading, praying, obeying, your way will be the Lord's way. It's kind of easy to solve that puzzle. Don't make big decisions while living in disobedience. So important to understand our understanding lines up with the Lord's understanding when we are in His Word and obeying Him. Number three, do you receive correction with humility? I'll be the first to admit, correction stings. But correction reveals the love of the Lord. I love what it says. Proverbs 3, a father corrects a son that he delights in. So the Lord corrects a child of His that He delights in. Correction's a blessing. It pulls us back on the right road. Be thankful for it. And then number four, and I've already preached this, so I don't have to preach it again, but I'll just simply ask you, do you feel secure this morning, church? Do you feel secure? Verse 25 of what we just read, do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You sleeping well in 2020, church? You anxious? You stress up in 2020, church? You resting well? Is your confidence in the Lord this morning or in yourself? I will simply say this. Security, everybody wants it. Everybody wants security this morning. All of you do, and so do I. Security is found in Christ alone. It's the only place you'll find security in a fallen world. Come to Him, repent of your sins, put your faith in Christ, and you will get the security you desire. And I will tell the church, for those of you who have done that and are believers, security is still just found in Christ and His wisdom. And as I've told you last week, and as we leave the book of Proverbs, I'll simply leave you with the greatest principle of Proverbs. All of God's wisdom, you know where it's found? In Christ. All of God's wisdom in His own Son who lived and died and was resurrected. The gospel is the wisdom of God, and it is available to all who will call on the Lord. Let's pray this morning.